Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.
When you are drowning in debt, the shame is loud and the options feel few. For many South Africans, debt review has been a necessary bridge back to breathing, a legal lifeline for those overwhelmed by financial commitments. But lately, that same bridge has become a trap. People are waking up to find their financial lives hijacked, their names flagged, and their options closed. All because someone, somewhere, placed them under debt review without their knowledge or consent. Enter Floyd Munetsi, a seasoned finance professional, trusted executive advisor, and consumer education advocate who's made it his business to return power to the people. Floyd's career spans major strategic roles in companies like BCX, CellC, and now Tracker Connect, where he serves as chief of staff and executive assistant to the CEO. He's also a non-executive director at Colorblind Consulting and currently pursuing his MBA in strategy, all while keeping his finger on the pulse of South Africa's financial realities. Floyd isn't just here to explain what debt review is. He's here to restore dignity, help us spot the scams, and remind every listener that no matter how far down you feel, it is never the end. He's sharp, he's strategic, and he's for the people. And tonight, he's the voice you didn't know you needed. Floyd, welcome to the group chat.
Thank you so much. Really glad to be here.
How are you doing?
Good. Had a very productive day. I'm looking forward to a very interesting conversation this evening.
I love that we get to have this conversation. I had a productive day too, so I'm feeling very, very, very hyped and amped for this conversation.
Fantastic.
Let's start where most people are stuck, right? With fear and shame. What would you say to the person listening who feels embarrassed and trapped or broken by their debt situation? And I want us to start this way because I want them to feel like they can listen without the embarrassment, without the fear, without the shame, but can receive what we have to say so that they can change their lives. So what do you have to say to that person?
Well, to that person, I basically have to say, first and foremost, don't feel terrible.
Yeah,
it happens. Most of us will fall victims to some kind of scam or some type of situation where we're misled, even when we thought that everything was above board. So the prevalence of scams right across all aspects of life is something that's very common. And I think we just need to know that it can happen. Don't be too hard on yourself. Yeah. Let's go through the process of learning together so that we can avoid falling for the same mistakes again.
Yeah, and it happens to the best of us, right? It wouldn't be a scam if it wasn't effective in its ways.
Precisely. Yeah. I think we often underestimate how sophisticated scammers can be. There are people who really go the extra mile to figure us out, find our blind spots, and therefore take advantage of us when we least expect it. So I think it's really something that we can all fall for, but therefore we should work together to educate each other so that we can avoid these things going forward.
Yeah. Now that there's that ease of the fear and the shame and the embarrassment, I think we can get into it, right? Debt review can be a lifesaver, but it can also be a landmine if we're not careful. Can you help us understand what it is meant to do and where it can go wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. Debt review is supposed to be a lifeline. Yeah. It's supposed to be something that helps us when we're in too much debt and allows us to get a bit of breathing room so that we can get back on track without too much legal pressure or, you know, with the debt collectors breathing down our necks all the time.
They sure do.
And it's something which, when it's done right, under the protection of the National Credit Act, something which ultimately allows us to negotiate with our creditors, to restructure our debt into something that is much more manageable, payments that we can afford, and ultimately gives us a path to debt clearance and to back to being debt-free if everything goes well.
And where can it go wrong?
So it begins to go wrong simply because, like we've said, there are people who take advantage of the very many people who are under financial pressure in society today. And perhaps I'll give one or two stats. Three out of four people in South Africa feel some kind of money stress. I think it's maybe a little bit more than three. I read a stat from a recent survey which said that over 60% of people who earn 20,000 rand or more are over indebted. And when we think about things like where the interest rates were just a few months ago, constantly going up and never coming down, people who are comfortably paying off bills and paying off debt suddenly found themselves battling to pay that bond, struggling to keep up with the car payments, and being choked by those, you know, Edgar's account payments and so forth. So I think in a society where the financial situation has put pressure on many households, we suddenly find ourselves in need of this. And not only do the people who offer you legitimate debt relief have the opportunity to help you, the bad actors and the scammers also see you as, you know, targets to take advantage of.
But how do they get access to our records? Because I can imagine that when they call you, they would have a profile of sorts where they let you know, hey, you're over indebted and this is a solution that we can offer you. How are they so easily, how are our records so easily accessible to them? The scammers, that is.
So I think there's, there's two parts or two answers to that question. Number one is that scammers by nature work with syndicates. They will find ways of getting your name, your ID number, and perhaps grabbing some additional information that they get from people in banks and financial institutions and so forth, and use that against you. They may also be able to access information from credit bureaus that have already listed you, or debt collection companies that are already chasing up on you, and that's enough to let them know that you are under financial pressure. So information gathered from syndicates or from illegitimate sources, legitimate information from legitimate sources, ultimately can be used against you. But the other one, which I think is the more concerning one, is that we give them that information. Yeah, they call you. They sound legitimate. They talk the talk. And remember, we've just said three out of four people are under pressure. 60% or more are already over indebted.
So their chances of finding their victim are high.
Yeah, they just need to call four people, and three of them are likely to be under pressure. And two of them are probably already in significant pressure. One of them is enough for them to have a good success rate.
And how do we know that a debt counselor or a debt review company is legit?
That's a very good question. So there's a couple of things that I think we all need to be a little bit aware of and that we need to keep an eye out for when we're interacting with debt review or debt counseling companies. Number one, they must be registered with the National Credit Regulator. And you can actually check their details on the website. You can look up their NCRDC number on the website, and it will confirm that they are legit. Secondly, there's a very clear, transparent process on how they work, which is outlined on the NCR website as well, around things like using what we refer to as payment distribution agencies. So these are companies that are, how can I say it, legitimately approved to handle your debit orders and so forth for payments. And I guess the third one would be many of these debt collection companies are affiliated with debt counseling bodies. For example, there's one called the NDCA, which is the National Debt Counselors Association.
Yeah.
There's another one called the DCASA, which is the Debt Counselors Association of South Africa. So organizations such as those give some legitimacy because they then govern their members to make sure that they operate in an ethical way.
Yeah. Now, I'd love for you to explain the entire process, but the process so much so that somebody can identify the point at which it becomes a scam, right? So you did mention that they call you. That's the first thing that they do. And they'd want to verify some details, I guess, to confirm that it really is you, and then bring up that information to say, okay, yes, you are over indebted and these are your debt, these are the creditors that you owe, da 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 da. At what point can someone say, oh snap, I've actually been scammed? What would need to happen?
So there are several red flags that I could point out. I think the first one is really if you get an offer out of nowhere.
Okay.
You didn't
inquire.
Go to a company, send an inquiry on the website or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
I like to use the example of saying that if you suddenly win the lotto without buying a ticket,
something's fishy.
There's something fishy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in this case, if it's an unsolicited offer, just know that that's an initial red flag.
Okay.
Also, even though they might give a semblance of legitimacy, they might quote that registration number, which when you look it up, might seem legit.
Mm.
The way that they're trying to sign you over is often less to help you, but quickly to get you to certain points where you are sharing your bank details or you are sharing personal information, perhaps beyond what you actually need to be given. So pressure tactics are usually a sign that they're trying to get you to a certain point too quickly.
Got it.
And therefore you need to be a final sign that I'll share is that some of these unscrupulous debt review companies actually ask you for upfront fees, significant payments before they've even done one thing to help you.
Sure.
And usually when you find yourself in that situation, that's another very clear sign that you are dealing with someone who's just trying to get the best of you upfront.
Sure. And so I just also, and I'm going to ask you questions that may seem rudimentary, right? And so foundational that they might even bore you. But I want people to be very aware of what help is available to them and what constitutes as help and what is actually just there to harm them. So I want us to now paint a realistic, legitimate view of a debt review, right? What about being under debt review gives you relief? So what are the components of debt counseling that makes it such that your payments are adjusted, the legal processes are halted or kept at bay? What about debt review makes it such a good option for somebody who really is over indebted? And those amounts, how are they spread? Are there lawyers involved? And all of those things. Just please take me through a legitimate process.
Okay, so maybe just to talk you through it at a high level without going into too much detail, because it can become quite technical.
Okay.
It often starts off with you approaching them and asking for help and simply saying, I believe that I'm over indebted and therefore I need help.
Yeah.
In that situation, the debt counselor then goes through a process where they start off by assessing your current financial situation. They'll look at your income, your expenses, your debt obligations. Mm-hmm. They might ask you a few questions around other sources of income, your marital status, because if you're married in community or property and stuff like that, those are things that they take into consideration. And based on all of that, they'll get to a point where they can determine that you are over indebted and therefore qualify for debt review.
Yeah.
The following step is usually immediately to engage with your creditors and to let them know that you are over indebted and therefore you are now under the protection of a debt review process.
Yeah.
What that immediately allows you to do is to now continue to restructure your payments and so forth, but without the pressure of your creditors and the credit bureaus and everybody taking legal action against you.
Yeah.
And that's actually perhaps the biggest benefit of debt review.
Yes.
Because what it does is it immediately takes the pressure off and allows you to, without, you know, the risk of perhaps being foreclosed or things like that taking place, you can actually now go through the process of managing your credit.
Mm-hmm.
Once that's done, I guess the final part is that the debt counselor will then work with you to restructure your credit, come up with an affordable payment plan. They'll negotiate it with your creditors, the companies that you owe money, the banks and so forth. And ultimately come up with a settlement where everybody is happy, something that they're willing to accept and something which, based on your income and expenses, you can afford. And I guess the final step is you then begin to settle your renegotiated, much more affordable payments, but through what we refer to as a payment distribution agency, an organization which is mandated to take your payment and then pay them off to the companies that you owe as per the agreed process. And largely speaking, that is the process. And you then just go through that process. You continue with your monthly payments until your debts are paid off as per the agreed plan. And once that's done, you then get a clearance certificate that allows you to then say, I'm debt-free, I'm no longer under debt review, and if necessary, I can now access debt again, which we often don't encourage. But at least you then have the freedom to take full control of your finances again.
And I just want to piggyback on that. So when somebody is under debt review, they no longer have access to debts, right? As in, you can't open a new credit card or a new clothing account store on debts. So basically, your debt accessibility is frozen in order to allow you room to pay for all of the debts you already have, right?
Yes, I think in practice, that's what it means, because the idea is that if you are trying to manage a certain basket of debt under debt review, it doesn't make sense for you to then start adding more financial pressure to yourself. When you've already demonstrated that I'm over indebted, I can barely afford my payments, and I'm now on debt review. So then opening a new credit card or buying another car,
it defeats the purpose.
Simply defeats the purpose. So one of the key conditions of debt review is that you cannot incur new debt.
Yeah. Another implication I don't think people are fully aware of is the fact that it normally takes longer to pay the debt now because of the restructuring, right? They have reduced your interest rates, making it possible for you to pay. But that means then the time to pay has been stretched in order to make it possible for you to pay. Am I correct?
Yes, that's correct. So you'll find that the repayment or the restructured terms are often quite flexible. If you owed debt a credit card, which you needed to have paid off in, or maybe a personal loan, which you needed to have paid off in 6 months, but you suddenly find yourself on debt review, the restructuring process based on your income and expenses could stretch that out to 2 years. So yes, you do find yourself with an extended repayment period. And therefore, technically, you are in debt for longer. However, the flip side to it is that you were struggling to pay it off in that 6 months anyway. You suddenly find yourself having defaulted. You then get listed with the credit bureaus. Maybe they repossess the assets that you had purchased on credit. And you find yourself now in a worse-off position where maybe then you could have been if you didn't take this option. Perhaps even with a legal judgment against you.
Floyd, but the thing that concerns me now is, how are people placed under debt review without their knowledge? How does that happen?
So I think it's really just unscrupulous people who use some of these steps that you'll find in the debt review mechanism as it is. But then they take shortcuts where they then instead of doing it in the legitimate way, for example, with the payment distribution agency, they then set it up in a way that they'll register you as someone who's under debt review. They will let your creditors know that you are on debt review. The credit bureaus will list you as someone under debt review. Then when it comes to the payment process, instead of using the registered payment agency, they then say, pay your funds to our bank account. And instead of paying over the full amounts that they should be, they start playing games with those funds. And therefore, instead of you paying a structured, clear, definitive amount, they're paying over less, keeping over more. And ultimately, you find yourself trapped in that cycle for an extended period of time.
And I think the thing that hasn't always made a lot of sense to me is how these companies are actually making a profit, right? And I mean actual debt review companies, because they would have stipulated the new payment terms with your creditors. So is there a commission or a fee that they take aside? And is it even lucrative enough to have a debt counseling company running profitably?
Well, yes, I think they make money. There's some fees that they're allowed to charge as per the National Credit Act. So the act that governs them does stipulate certain fees that they're allowed to charge for taking you through the assessment process, for helping you restructure your debt, and even a little fee of your monthly debit order goes to them. I think, for example, if you're a single person, there's a once-off restructuring fee, which they will typically charge after they've kind of gone through the process. It's usually a once-off lump sum. And it depends whether you're an individual or you're married in community of property. There is therefore there's after that a monthly aftercare fee of a couple of percent. I think it's 5% a month, but capped to a certain amount of your debit order. And this just covers the ongoing administration and so forth of your account with them. And then, of course, there's, I think that's largely the two main baskets of fees that they can charge. If you do ask for other services through these companies, some of them also work as organizations that help you clear a judgment, for example. They might have separate fees and charges for that, which they would ideally communicate. But a good characteristic of a good debt counseling or debt review company is that they will be very transparent about these fees upfront. If they're not transparent or vague about the process, about the fees, and fail to link their fees to the Credit Act, for example, that should be another red flag immediately.
Yeah. As part of the transparency you were mentioning, are they mandated to send you a statement at the end of the month to actually show the flow of your money?
I can't say with confidence that they're mandated, but I think it's good practice for them to do that. And I think any organization, once again, in the spirit of transparency, that does not do that, I think that is a red flag as well.
For sure, for sure. Now, what are some emotional and mental costs that come with being under debt review, especially when you were scammed into it?
Well, I think the obvious difficulty is that you find yourself trapped. And, you know, you went somewhere looking for help, looking for support, because you are already desperate and already under a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Only to find yourself in a situation where, in some instances, the scam is not a long-standing one. It's one where you signed up, you were charged an upfront fee, and then they blocked you and you never heard from them again, only to realize you actually weren't in debt review. Your creditors are still on your neck, but because they pressured you into paying $5,000 up front, that money is gone.
It's gone.
Alternative two is one where they do put you under debt review, but under terms which are not in line with the process. So again, like we said, the debit order is going to them rather than to a distribution agency.
Yeah.
And the plan that they've negotiated with your creditors is not what they said to you it would be. And therefore, they're paying a lot less over and keeping a lot more of that debit order than you had agreed. So I think the mental and the emotional strain comes from simply knowing that I went to ask for help legitimately, and that help is not forthcoming, and I'm already in financial distress. I can't afford to have paid off that once off, and I can't afford to now be in a situation where I'm now stuck. I'm trying to say, okay, get me off the debt review, and they are not allowing you to do that. They are keeping you on this debit order, and you know you are just not seeing the results that you're looking for.
And getting your name cleared also is a costly exercise, eh?
It is. It is. So now you have to potentially start a process with a lawyer, get legal support. Perhaps if it's a complete scam, there's now a police process you now need to embark on. And it's just a costly, exhausting, emotionally, financially, mentally draining exercise to get yourself out of these situations.
Oh, man. And as someone suspects that they've been scammed or they actually were scammed, what are perhaps the first steps that they should take to reclaim their financial power?
So I think the first thing is just verify indeed that you have been scammed.
Okay.
I think if you go to a credit bureau of some sort, it should immediately let you know, were you put on debt review or not?
Okay.
So I think that's the starting point. First, confirm what your status actually is. And of course, once you've gotten to the point where you realize I have been scammed, one key thing to do is immediately start gathering some evidence. If it was via email, correspondence was via SMS or whatever, if there's any paperwork that you signed, put all of that together and then use that evidence to go and submit a report. Now, there's three places that you can report. Firstly, you can report directly to the National Credit Regulator. If you visit www.ncr.org.za, there is a place there where you can report any issues relating to scams right there. You may also find that there's a call center number that you can call.
Okay.
The second place, of course, is the Financial Ombud. And the National Financial Ombud is, I guess, the custodian of consumer-related complaints for anything financial. So that's also a good place to file a report as well. But I think finally, if you believe that you have at least enough information that could help in a criminal pursuit, going to the police and filing a report is also very important.
Okay.
And I like to strain this one because often people think, I'll just log it to the NCR and let's see what happens. But unless we report it to the police, the police are not able to intervene in situations where perhaps if multiple people report, there's some common elements to the case and to the way that they were scammed. Perhaps there's a common name or a common phone number or common information. They are not able to effectively go after some of these syndicates and ultimately put these people behind bars. So very important to get the police involved, because when they then gather your report and my report and someone else's report, all of that intelligence helps them ultimately be more effective in their investigation.
That's lovely. And just to continue on the track of allaying people's fears, right? Does being under debt review affect someone's ability to work or to start a business?
No, I think not technically. Of course, if you needed funding for your business, then perhaps it could become a barrier to that.
Yeah.
But I think it doesn't stop you from going ahead and starting a business. I do believe if you've been declared technically insolvent, that could be a challenge for starting a business, or perhaps for securing new business as well. But being under debt review shouldn't stop you from doing that. And I guess sometimes it can be a barrier because people sometimes view debt review as a negative thing. And naturally, things like this come with a bit of a stigma.
Yes.
But I believe in reality, you taking any measures to try and sort out your financial state is not a bad thing. You're actually doing the right thing, getting yourself out of trouble.
Yeah.
And if you are trying to start a business or get a job so that you can improve your financial status, and your ability to pay off your debt obligations, I think it's a good thing. And therefore, there's no barrier for you to do that.
Yeah, I really believe so too. And once you have cleared your debts, how long until you get that clearance certificate and can finally start over and hopefully this time not on debt?
I don't believe it's a long process. It depends on, I think, perhaps the debt counseling organization that you are with. But I think, and I stand to be corrected, the process should take a couple of weeks once all conditions are met. I think usually within 21 days, you'll find that you can get your clearance certificate. Now, of course, sometimes there's more admin or other processes that need that you need to go through, and therefore this can vary depending on the organization. But technically, anything from 3 weeks to a month or so, you should be able to get your certificate once you've paid everything off. All the creditors are also confirming they're happy. You don't owe them money. Perhaps you've covered all your fees to the debt counselors as well. That should be a fairly straightforward process to get cleared.
Yeah, Floyd, a lot of our people, and I was tempted to say especially women, but I've been hearing so many stories of men under financial pressure taking their own lives. So like, this is a really serious thing, right? People are carrying financial burdens and they're carrying it in silence. What support systems or safe spaces do you recommend for someone who's going through this alone?
So there's several things to think about. And I think there's two things that I'll highlight here. One is that getting help is the first step to getting out of the situation. So despite the stigmas, despite what people may think and what people may say, in our local language, we often worry about abantu bazothini syndrome. And as a result of that, we're hesitant to go out there and ask for help. But asking for help and finding help is critical. So don't suffer in silence. There are places where you can get support. But beyond that, I'd also like to say that debt consolidation, or rather debt counseling, is not the only alternative. You can also go to your bank and find out about something called debt consolidation loan. They also allow you to combine and restructure your payments, but perhaps without as much legal protection. But that is one way to get that, to get some relief. You can also just negotiate directly with the people you owe money, the creditors, and you'll find that many of them, when you proactively go to them before you're under pressure, they're very willing to engage and find a way to assist you. And then, of course, there's some things that you can do on your own with the guidance of perhaps family or friends, and simply just talking to people who may have been through similar challenges that you can implement in your own life, cutting back on certain expenses, starting a side hustle so that you can make a bit of extra money. All of those things are things that you can do for yourself so that you can start getting yourself out of trouble. Of course, you can also leverage resources and tools that are there in the public domain. Many people work for companies that will give you access to a wellness program, and part of that might include financial counseling. Your church often will have a stewardship department, which is often a good place to go to if you just need some guidance with regards to your finances as well. So these are all the different places where you can get alternative support, some formal, some informal, but all of those places, sources of help for you to get out of the strain of financial pressure.
I'm so happy there are ways that people can find the support that they need. Now, Floyd, something we didn't talk about. What happens when you default on your agreement with the debt review company even once?
I think when you default once, I think usually you'll find that there's a workable solution to that. I think everyone occasionally has a bad month, and that debit order will bounce. It's in the best interest of the debt counseling company, of course, to help you continue on that rehabilitation journey, give you a bit of time to get your payments back on track.
Yeah.
So therefore, you'll probably be able to get your arrangement back on track.
Mm.
I think the challenge then comes when you default for an extended period,
yeah.
which often reflects that your circumstances have become significantly
yeah.
worse.
Yeah.
Again, the debt review company cannot, it's not going to punish you or anything like that.
Mm.
But what it can do is it can remove you from debt review, and therefore, remember that legal protection we spoke about, it falls away because those payments are not just going to the debt review company, they are going to your creditors.
Mm.
And if you are now defaulting on the debt review payment, defaulting on your creditors, they'll give you a month or two to get back on track.
Mm.
But anything beyond that now means that they can now resume legal action against
Ooh.
You. And all of that protection falls
it's
away.
Gone.
That payment that you negotiated to say, let me pay a much lower amount, might fall away, and you are now due for the full installment
Ooh.
As per your original agreement.
Ooh.
So, yeah, so I think it's quite important, one, to continuously engage with your debt counselor.
Mm.
If you miss a month, let them know immediately.
Mm.
Say, hey, guys, I'm sorry. I missed a month. I was just under a bit of financial pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Please, can I get back on track next month, or can I pay in a few days
yeah.
when my money comes in?
Yeah.
That way they can manage your plan and still protect you from your creditors.
Mm.
And of course, if for some reason that payment that you negotiated initially
mm-hmm.
becomes a bit more burdensome, work with them, because they're your interface between your creditors, and they can go and continue to refine
yeah.
that arrangement that's there, so that maybe your payments are a little shorter, maybe they
yeah.
negotiate a bit of a payment holiday or something along those lines to make life easier for you.
Mm.
So don't default without engaging
your
debt counselor.
Yeah. Now, is there any recourse for somebody who does default and then by some miracle happens upon finances that are more steady now and they want to go back? And I can imagine that when you do default, the banks then come back and say, or the creditors then come back and say, ah, we were trying you out and look at what you do. But now we're back on track.
Mm-hmm.
We want our full money and we want it the way we used to debit it and all of that. So is there any recourse for somebody who was trying on debt review and then they fell off and the bank started coming back to them to say, now it's us man to man? How can somebody like that then try to get back onto a plan or program that will help them breathe better again?
So, excuse me, I think the challenge that's there is that outside of the debt review process, there aren't very many other mechanisms that are there to protect you from your creditors.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the debt review process is very, very important.
Mm.
Once you're out there dealing with your creditors face to face, I think you are largely at their mercy. And you either negotiate and hope that they are willing to meet you halfway, they're willing to write off certain amounts or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But you are at their mercy, unfortunately. I think the short answer is that there isn't much recourse outside of the normal mechanisms of your agreement with them.
Sure. And if somebody isn't happy with the company that is doing their debt review, can they switch to another company?
Yes, I believe you can switch.
Okay.
It is a bit of a process that you need to go through.
All right.
And part of it just requires you to formally log a request to the one debt counselor that you would like to end your services and potentially resume them elsewhere.
Yeah.
Now, many of these debt counseling companies work together as part of these broad organizations. So a transfer, if for whatever reason your experience has been so negative, is something that they can facilitate. They're not willing to do it, but I must say that you also have to be cognizant of the fact that part of that process could mean you temporarily stopping your debt review and then starting it again with a new debt counselor, which means that some of those upfront fees could potentially
apply
again.
And I think
so the advice is usually that,
no problem.
That do your homework up front so that you don't get caught up in a company that is not ideal, that you're not comfortable with. Rather, take an extra week or two to do your homework, ask a few more questions, and then sign up with a company that you're willing to work with for the long run.
You know, Floyd, the thing with money and finances is that it is such an emotional thing, right? We don't make our decisions around money mostly logically. They're very emotional. Sometimes we want to be secretive. It's just very emotionally heavy and emotionally driven. Now, there could be somebody whose situation is not great, but they're in denial because this can't be my story. So what are the signs someone might be ready for debt review? And what can you say to them to push them to say, listen, you need this. It's for your own good. Also, I'm asking this question assuming that you do advocate for people who really need the service to get the service.
So look, I think my view is that matters of finance, like you said when you started off, are often very emotional. Yeah. When you have lots of money, the decisions are very much based on how you feel at the moment. Mm. And we're often taken away by, you know, our emotions when we go shopping and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the same applies when we find ourselves under financial pressure.
This is true.
It's a very emotional situation.
Yeah.
There's lots of shame, lots of embarrassment, lots of blaming yourself, perhaps even blaming others, and an unwillingness sometimes to come to terms with what we're going through.
For sure.
Especially sometimes if the financial hardships are not out of your own doing. It's not that you were reckless, not that you were overspending.
Yes.
You went through a retrenchment at work and unfortunately found your income gone. Or you were robbed and suddenly your finances are no longer what they used to be, your business closed down.
Yeah.
So all of these things are very heavy on the emotions. Mm. However, for you to come out of those things, you then have to perhaps take the time where you come out of the emotional zone and become very, very honest and objective with your state of affairs and therefore honest about the help that you need. And like I said earlier, simply being able to acknowledge that, hey, I need help here is step number one.
Mm.
And I think beyond that, what I can say is that when you look at your financial situation, if making it from month to month is becoming harder and harder, you're literally living from paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're not even making it to the next paycheck before you're borrowing more money or you are selling something or whatever it might be.
Mm.
Those are all signals and signs that you probably need help already.
Mm.
So therefore, very important to, again, acknowledge that you need help.
Yes.
Keep an eye out on your own circumstances and just be honest. I'm struggling.
Yeah.
And then go out and get that help. And like I said, debt counseling is a very important and very powerful mechanism to protect you when you're in that situation.
Mm.
But there are a few other alternatives. And maybe go and get some financial coaching, speak to your stewardship department at church, engage with family and friends who might have been through similar circumstances, and through that process, find the path that works for you.
Mm.
I advocate for debt counseling in the right circumstances, but beyond that, I advocate for being willing to acknowledge that I'm under pressure and being willing to ask for help.
Mm. You know, like we did say, that this is such an emotional thing, right? And so most people don't even want to talk to other people about them. But I'm just imagining somebody sitting at home right now feeling so seen and so understood through this conversation. To close this conversation off, I just would love for you to speak to that person who has tears welling up in their eyes, wondering if they'll ever get out of this hole.
So to our listener at home, you are not alone. Many South Africans are under financial pressure, like we said earlier. And many times it's not your fault. The economy is out of control. The cost of living is just too high. And our circumstances are just difficult. It could be a retrenchment. It could be a business closure that we find ourselves in these situations. But You are not alone, and there is help.
Yeah.
There is help through the provisions of the National Credit Act, through debt counseling. There is often help through your creditors if you are willing to go speak to them.
Mm.
There is often help in your community, from your church. And there's even help in your family and friends, especially those who you trust with sharing some of these things.
Yes.
My encouragement to you listening at home is that don't suffer alone.
Don't.
Be willing to go out there and ask for help. And I think you will find that the support you need is really waiting out there for you.
Yeah.
And I think even though there's a bit of stigma, and even though sometimes we look at these things in a negative way, I think there are so many stories out there of people who've gone through these processes and are now happy to say, after a few months, after a few years, I am debt free.
Yeah.
I am back in control of my finances.
Yeah.
And I believe that can happen to you too, listening at home as well.
And these systems have been put in place for us, right? To help us in these sorts of situations.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But like we started off, be on the lookout for the scammers.
Oh, please.
And make sure that you do all your homework
please,
up front so
please,
that you don't
please.
Fall victim to the unscrupulous people out there.
Yeah. Oh, please be on the lookout. And to add to what you just said to that listener, I just want to say, debt doesn't define you. And yes, I know you may feel like I knew better. I should have done better. How did I get myself into this? Or how did I allow myself to fall into this? It doesn't cancel your brilliance. It doesn't cancel your future. And it doesn't even cancel your ability to rise. What Floyd has given us in this conversation is more than just financial advice. You know, and I don't even think it constituted as financial advice, but it was a roadmap to reclaim our power. So whether you entered into debt review knowingly or you were scammed into it, you are not powerless. And I think that is what Floyd emphasized over and over again. You are also not stupid. And like he also said now towards the end, you are not alone. So Floyd, thank you so much for showing us the other side, you know, and just letting us know that beyond the debt review, there is hope and there is a way for us to get the help that we need. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that. I think we've lost Floyd on that line, but I also want to thank you for tuning in. And I really want to emphasize, it is not the end. You can still make it. You can still make it. I promise you, you can. Just put your head down, do the work that you need to do, and everything will be okay. I am Nompumelelo Lombonane, and I hope you've just made sense of your business. Fresh mercy tomorrow. But ciao for now.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.